Hello everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema, here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Coming up later on in the show, we'll take a look at a couple of recently released movies, the Margaret Thatcher biopic The Iron Lady, starring Meryl Streep, and the Roman Polanski comedy-drama Carnage. But right now, on the musical side of the program, we're actually going to feature music from the movies of Meryl Streep. And quite a few rather interesting scores in the program today. I do hope you're going to enjoy what we'll have to offer. We're going to begin with an effort from composer Georges Delerue, written for a movie released in 1983, directed by Mike Nichols. It's called Silkwood. Enjoy.
Thank you.
That's music from Silkwood, written by Georges Delerue. Not the greatest quality recording in the world, but still an impressive score. Moving on to an Oscar-winning score from composer John Barry, written for a movie co-starring Streep and Robert Redford. That would be Sidney Pollack's drama Out of Africa. Let's take a listen. Music written for Out of Africa. Do hope you enjoyed that. Let's spring ahead to a score from 1992, written by Alan Silvestri, for a movie directed by Robert Zemeckis called Death Becomes Her. an interesting score from Alan Silvestri, written for Death Becomes Her. Kind of a hit-and-miss movie, but an interesting musical effort there. Next up, we move ahead 1 year to 1993 in a movie with an incredible cast. Meryl Streep, Glenn Close, Jeremy Irons, Winona Ryder, Antonio Banderas, Vanessa Redgrave, all co-starring in a movie directed by Billy August called The House of the Spirits, featuring a score by Hans Zimmer. Let's take a listen. A really nice score, probably one of Zimmer's most overlooked efforts of the 1990s, for The House of the Spirits. Next up, we move ahead to a movie called The River Wild, kind of a fun little adventure movie directed by Curtis Hanson, co-starring Meryl Streep, David Strathairn, and Kevin Bacon. Let's take a listen to some of this score by Jerry Goldsmith. Thank you. music by Jerry Goldsmith, written for The River Wild. Next up, we move along to 1996 in a movie co-starring Meryl Streep and Liam Neeson, featuring a score by Howard Shore, Before and After. Enjoy! You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. We're featuring music from the movies of actress Meryl Streep on the program today. And next up, a lovely score from Rachel Portman, written for a movie co-starring Streep, Diane Keaton, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Robert De Niro, called Marvin's Room. Thank you. That's music for Marvin's Room by Rachel Portman. Next, we turn to Mr. Cliff Eidelman, a very talented composer and one who doesn't get enough high-profile assignments, and his music for the drama One True Thing. Music from Cliff Eidelman, written for One True Thing. Next up, we move along to one of the most prominent film scores written by composer Philip Glass. This is his music for Stephen Daldry's The Hours. That's music from The Hours, written by Philip Glass. Last, and most assuredly not least, we turn to Mr. Thomas Newman and his score for the film we'll be reviewing in just a few short moments, The Iron Lady. music written by Thomas Newman for The Iron Lady. Speaking of which, time to move along to our review of that particular film at this point in the program. When it was announced that Meryl Streep would be playing Margaret Thatcher, many immediately assumed that Streep would be adding yet another Oscar nomination to her resume. Great actress plus important historical figure equals award season material, right? Predictably, Streep's Thatcher is every bit as impressive as one might expect, a performance which begins as a perfect impersonation and quickly goes considerably deeper. Even so, The Iron Lady falls disappointingly short as a film, as it never persuades us that it was made for any other reason than to draw attention to Streep's talents. The bulk of the film is spent in the present day, as Thatcher, played by Streep in very heavy makeup, wanders her apartment, engages in hallucinatory conversations with her late husband Dennis, played by a very good Jim Broadbent, and reflects on important moments in her past. The problem is that those important moments are generally depicted with broad strokes and lightweight montages. Streep is remarkably vital as the active, arrogant, commanding Prime Minister, but that version of the character is given very little screen time. Instead, scenes which ought to have been nothing more than extended bookends are given center stage, while scenes loaded with rich, politically and personally complicated material are exasperatingly brief. The Iron Lady feels like a bustling prologue and reflective epilogue without a proper story in between to make us care about either. Love her or hate her, Margaret Thatcher deserves better than this undercooked doodle of a movie. I give it a rating of 2.5 stars out of 4. Also had the chance to catch up with Roman Polanski's Carnage. Movies based on plays are often criticized for feeling stage-bound. However, Roman Polanski is better suited to adapting plays than most directors, as he excels at creating compelling dramas within increasingly claustrophobic settings. Consider Repulsion, Cul-de-Sac, The Tenant, and Death and the Maiden, for starters. Almost all of the action in Carnage takes place within the confines of a small apartment, but Polanski uses that inevitable stage-bound feeling to his advantage. We're essentially witnessing an upper-class prison drama, and the inmates are as incapable of escaping the apartment as they are of escaping their primitive instincts. The film centers around two married couples meeting to discuss a conflict between their young sons. In one corner, we have the amiable John C. Reilly and the tense Jodie Foster, while in another corner we have the exasperated Kate Winslet and the constantly distracted Christoph Waltz. Their conversation begins on a note of admirable civility, but slowly begins to escalate into something uncomfortable and ugly. These people aren't just succumbing to their worst impulses. They're succumbing to their worst impulses in spite of the fact that they're all painfully aware of just how badly they're behaving. The overall arc of the story is predictable, but Polanski and the actors have a blast filling the journey with devious details and detours. Observe the manner in which Carnage deftly shifts from a battle of manners to a battle of parental instincts to a battle of the sexes to primitive chest thumping without missing a beat, and also observe the manner in which Polanski constantly upends many of the philosophical points the movie initially seems to be making. All of the performances are excellent, though Waltz's consistently hilarious portrait of 21st century apathy is arguably the highlight. Jodie Foster's vein-popping turn comes a very close second. The setup and basic ideas behind Carnage are simple, but the execution is wickedly complex. Once again, Polanski reveals himself as one of cinema's most skillful puppeteers. I give Carnage a rating of 3.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. Have a great week, everyone. Back at you later.
Arizona moon keeps shining from the desert sky above. You know pretty soon that big yellow moon will light the way back to the one you love. Blue shadows on the trail. Little cowboy. just close your eyes and dream, little pal. Dream of someone. Boom, 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 boom. Soft wind blowing through the trees above. All the other little cowboys back in the bunk.